This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
They walk to work in the heat and snow, uphill, both ways. They could tell a storm was coming, not because some slick weatherman told them so, but because they felt it in their knee. They're your dad, your granddad, and every other man who built this country. And when the weather got tough, the tough got Cabot Wood Stain. Its deep penetrating pigments and oils have made it a pro's trusted stain partner for 130 years. Cabot, our performance is legendary. Visit CabotStain.com.
When pain strikes, put on a Salon Pause pain relief or arthritis patch and join the pain-free movement. Salon Pause is the only FDA-approved over-the-counter pain relief patch. Two powerful active ingredients go right where it hurts, reducing inflammation and relieving mild to moderate pain for up to 12 hours. Millions are joining the pain-free movement. Now, it's your turn. Salon Pause.
Salon Pause.
Available at CVS Pharmacy, Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Duane Reade.
It's 11 o'clock.
It's time to play that real kick-ass open.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show with sports director Doug Duda.
Doug Duda with a sports update on ESPN.
Pick and roll, and Olmstead is wide open from Romy. And he's got him locked up, and he gets the pin. Michael Klingensmith gets past, knocked away by Ritschka. Jesse goes in for the layup, and it's up and in. And Ravenna's going to win state.
And Big Daddy Tony Davis.
It is now a new trophy. We have a new champion. A new champion is crowned.
Be big. I'll be big anyway. I don't know how much of a help I'll be.
This is so Apollo Creed and Rocky in the middle of the ring.
And now it's time for the best sports show in central Nebraska.
I wouldn't go that far, Mayor.
It's the Doug and Daddy Show.
I think Nebraska fans are the greatest fans in all of college football. No question on mine. I've coached here three times, and I've been here to do television four times. The enthusiasm here is as good as any place, but the integrity here of the fans is the best in America.
It's Jerry Taggi calling signals after a 67-yard march. And on a quarterback keeper, he dives for the goal line. Coach Bob Devaney's unbeaten Nebraska Cornhuskers are number one. 1970 National Collegiate Football Champions of America.
Here's Wiley's kick. It's high. It holds up there. Rogers takes the ball at the 30. He's hit and got away. Back upfield to the 35, to the 40. He's to the 45. He's to the 50, to the 45, to the 40, to the 35, to the 20, to the 10. He's all the way home. Holy moly. Man, woman, and child did that. Put him in the aisle. Johnny the Jet Rogers just tore them loose from their shoes.
Off to Rozier. Rozier turns. He's running back around the field. He's trying to get away. He's looking for blockers. He turns upfield. He's going to run a touchdown.
And the snap to Tommy, and they give him the trap play, and it's Schlesinger inside the five. And there for the touchdown. He's got the touchdown. It's the touchdown for Corey Schlesinger. It is history. 13-0. And bring that trophy back to Lincoln.
And an option to the right, Tommy on the keep, turns the corner, 25-30. Eludes a tackler, 35. Tommy Frazier, 37, 38, 39, 40, 45, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30. He's going to go. Holy cow. Touchdown, Tommy Frazier.
Third down. Frost to the middle.
T.J. O'Leary to snap it. Senior Jake West to put it down. Alex Henry to try to put the Huskers in front with a minute and 50 left in the game. The snap is down. The kick is up. The kick is
on
its way. The kick is good. He bangs it in there. 57 yards out of a school record to put the Huskers in front, 33-31. Second and 10. Hawkins in the gun gets the snap. Sets, throws, batted down. Intercepted it. Sue to the 20, 15, touchdown Sue. And Dominican Sue's second touchdown. ensue.
The stadium is blowing up.
It's Friday, folks, on the Doug and Daddy Show, July 23rd. 12 teams in 12 days rolls on. Day 12 is here. That means one thing. Your Nebraska Cornhuskers, the 12th team up, roundtable coming at you. Second segment of the show, Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Mitch Sherman, to provide their knowledge of what this season, which is merely a short period of time away. A lot of football talk, folks, as we roll on in to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Doug and Daddy Show live from Dallas, Texas, and Big 12 Media Days. Oh, what a time it'll be. And it finally is here. Football talk in the state of Nebraska. There's other stuff going on. The Cooperstown, the Baseball Hall of Fame is this weekend. There's horse racing going on, Horseman's Park. We've got an excellent guest scheduled for you just shortly here. He is a legendary track announcer. If you're an older horse racing fan around the area, and they say older because if you remember the glory days of Exarban, you remember Terry Wallace. If you're a young horse racing fan, you know Oaklawn Park, and you know the voice of Terry Wallace. We're looking for him to join us just shortly here on the Doug and Daddy Show, along with our roundtable. So much more. If you have a question for any of our guests today, shoot us to the Demp Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. That's Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com or 888-455-3776. Right now, we go live to Horseman's Park, and we talk to a living legend in that of Terry Wallace. Terry, thank you so much for the time today on the Doug and Daddy Show, and welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, thanks for having me on your show. You know, your show a lot resembles what we have in Arkansas, and of course that means right now that so much of the attention is on football, and where you guys lost your superstar with Ndamukong Suh last year, Arkansas is looking toward their own superstar, their equivalent, if you will, as a superstar, and that is in their quarterback. And right now, Arkansas has big hopes, so it's going to be a big year for college football for everybody.
Is this what takes over? I mean, football talk in the SEC country, just much like Nebraska, Terry, it just kind of takes over this time of year.
No, actually, it takes over all year. It never stops. I mean, it goes on through basketball and baseball season, and even though, you know, we actually stole the Nebraska baseball coach, Dave Van Horn, and we've had great baseball teams since we've had him down at Arkansas. The fact is that SEC football is on everybody's mind in the SEC all year round, and you know, my experience here in Nebraska has been that Big Red football has also been very much that way. So we'll see what happens, but I know that they have real high hopes in Arkansas this year, and they're looking to finally make it to a BCS bowl, and I'm sure that's the ultimate goal always at UNL, too.
Yeah, Ryan Mallett is a quarterback, of course, you speak of, and he should be a dandy. It's tough, though, as a quarterback in that SEC to get through a whole year being injury-free with the defenses they have to see, but we'll wait and see on that. Something we're not going to have to wait and see is the horse racing this weekend at Horseman's Park, which, if you have not been, people, it is a wonderful, wonderful time of year to go check out some horse racing. They have to do it live. They have to do a great job of it. They have bands. They've got beverages flow freely, and they've got some great horse racing. Terry, just what are your thoughts of coming back to Omaha to Horseman's Park?
Well, I love to come back to Omaha and to Nebraska, and some of the world's greatest folks are in this part of the country, and I'm always received quite nicely, and so it's always been a thrill for me to come back to Omaha and to Nebraska. And the only thing that I've noticed, the only change I've noticed in the last year is that all the barricades seem to have disappeared on 72nd Street. I don't know what's going on there.
Well, that is so true. Terry, of course, a longtime announcer at Exarban, and people remember him from back then. Terry, when you think back to the Exarban days, and I believe it was 82 or 84 where it was second to Santa Anita in Handel, and how crazy Nebraska and the surrounding states were for horse racing. What's your lasting memory of Exarban?
Well, Exarban was an absolutely great place to race. People always loved to come to Omaha to bring their horses to Omaha to race. Our regular horsemen were terrific, but the shippers we got here were were world-class horses that we got a chance to watch run. So it was an excellent opportunity for people in this area to see top-class racing and some of the world's most famous jockeys. And I was really excited to be here. This season was never long enough for me.
How disappointing was it the day they shut that door?
Well, I mean, it hurt badly, and I hurt more for all of my friends who were going to have to start, you know, looking for work somewhere else. I had other jobs that I could go to within the industry, but it wasn't that easy for people who had set down their family roots here in Omaha and had to find work elsewhere and in a different field, away from something they really love. You know, it really helps when you love what you do at your job, and that's what most of those people did. Now, there are still some of those veterans that are around, and you were right when you talked about the old racing fans, because I'm dealing with that very fact, you know, I've been around for a while in this game, and so I have a lot of good memories. It's really kind of fun to come to Horseman's Park now and see some of the sons and daughters of horses that I had a chance to see race, you know, and call them in races, et cetera, when I was at Exarban. It's fun to see all of that happen. We still have some of those great horsemen around who are still making major impact. The trainers like Marvin Johnson and Chuck Turco are still around making major impact. It's pretty much a new set of jockeys that are here that I'm having to familiarize myself with. But those young guys come along and they love what they do, and it's good to see them surface and really go on to great things.
Terry Wallace, track announcer at Oaklawn Park, and this weekend the track announcer at Horseman's Park. Horses races got off to a start there last night. Terry, talk about that a little bit.
Well, last night, it's the only four-race night. It used to be here that it was four races each day, and as the purse money was able to develop, well, they were able to expand, and now they have 3 days of five races starting tonight, and then yesterday was just four races. But even in the feature race, you had a real interesting head-to-head matchup. And two daughters of a horse who raced here for Jack Vanburgh in Nebraska back when he was running, a horse called Bloomin' Affair. Two of his good fillies raced against one another, and it was a terrific race. It was a two-horse race, and finally a filly called TJ's Affair, who had been racing over in Prairie Meadows, came over to run here and came with her fine jockey, Ramsey Zimmerman, who's an up-and-coming young rider in the country. They managed to prevail. But it was a really exciting finish to a great day. I think you hit the nail on the head. It's not only the live racing. The live racing is something really special. But the whole experience of being out at Horseman's, like tonight, for instance, Friday night at Horseman's, is always a great, fun night. There is really good, tremendous music that goes on. The food is provided by some of the best places in the Omaha area. Come out here and share some of their food delights with whatever the folks here at Horseman's are able to provide. And if you want to get out of the heat, you can get into the inside air conditioning. It's just all in all, it's a tremendous experience and really a fun place to come.
See, Terry, you bring up it was really a two-horse race, and that brings me back to Exarban. The match race had to be one of your favorites to call.
Yeah, I think it was probably the most significant race that I have ever called. I had a chance to call some great horses along the way, including this year's Zenyatta in Apple Blossom at Oaklawn, but that race with Who Doctor Who and Explosive Girl was interesting because it was on Cornhusker Handicap Day, and the Cornhusker Handicap was won by two Hall of Famers, the trainer Bill Mott and jockey Julie Crone, and yet nobody remembers the Cornhusker from that day, but they do remember that great race with Who Doctor Who and Explosive Girl, and the fact that everybody always thought that whoever made the lead in a race like that would be able to go on and win it, and it didn't happen that way. Explosive Girl actually made the lead. Who Doctor Who ran up, then Tommy Greer gave Who Doctor Who a little bit of a breather, and then on he came, and he prevailed. And he was the most popular horse around, but those people who took up for Girl Power, they thought they had a shot at it, and everybody felt like they were in it at some point during the race. It was really, truly an exciting afternoon.
Hey, Terry, we can go on, and you bring up Zenyatta. You know, we talked to my horse racing friends, and we were talking yesterday. Steve Anderson, by the way, says hello from Grand Island, along with Archie. And Steve actually co-hosted the show with me yesterday. We were talking at lunch, and one of the guys with us said, simply the best filly ever in the history of the world. No doubt about it. How big she is what amazed him. What amazes you about Zenyatta?
Well, Zenyatta has so much personality. She really shows that horses are not robots or anything like that, that they really, you know, they have a whole lot of personality. She's kind of a show-off in all of her actions prior to the race, et cetera. It's fun to see her and to perform that way. But what makes it all the more interesting these days is that we also have a filly called Rachel Alexandra running, who is very, very talented and who runs tomorrow at Monmouth Park, who was the horse of the year last year. And the matchup that everyone in racing is really wanting to see is the two of them. They're contrasting styles. Rachel Alexandra tends to run toward the front, and Zenyatta runs from the back and makes a big sweeping move. Everybody really wants to see that race happen. I don't know if it will or not, but to get two of the greatest fillies ever to be running about the same time is, you know, obviously never happened before, and it's going to be really exciting to see if it will happen this year in November.
Terry Wallace joins us for just another minute here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Terry, we talk about what a great environment Horseman's Park is for horse racing, for fans that get a chance to go see a race at Hot Springs, another just wonderful venue for horse racing you get to be a part of all year long.
Yeah, you know, it's fun. It's a great place to live. Hot Springs is a wonderful place to live. You could transplant Hot Springs into any place in Nebraska, and the people would get along just fine. The same salt-of-the-earth kind of folks that live there as live up here in Omaha, which makes it really fun for me. I have a nice place to live there in a very racing-savvy community. So we have simulcasts going on when we don't have live racing, but our live racing will start next year on the second weekend of January and run into the second weekend of April. And we expect to have the best horses in the world to race there once again next year.
Well, Terry, we fully expect to have the best race announcer in the world calling the races this weekend, and that's none other than you. We appreciate you for giving us some time today on the Doug and Daddy Show, and I look forward to following the races this weekend at Horseman's Park and hearing your voice.
Believe me, when I know that I cut in on Big Red Football, I know that's something really big. So I appreciate the time. Thanks, you guys.
Hey, Terry, thanks so much. Terry Wallace, track announcer, of course, at Oaklawn Park. If you follow horse racing, long time track announcer at Exarban, went on then to Hot Springs, Arkansas, at Oaklawn Park, and then at Horseman's Park this weekend. Folks, what a wonderful time to get to Horseman's Park and see some live horse racing. If you happen to be in the Omaha area, they do have great food, they have great drink, and they have a great time. There's music going on continually. They fit the races in perfectly. You can simulcast. You can have a good time with your buddies. It's just a wonderful time if you're heading to the eastern part of the state this weekend and a fun day of horse racing in the state of Nebraska. A lot of people, 10,000 to 15,000 people show up daily for this event, and it's just a good time to get out and check it out. And we're taking you up to lunch hour today, and why not check out the buffet at Godfather's? Only $6.50. That includes salad bar. Oh, yeah, it's oh so fine. Dine in or call 234-9444. 234-9444. Full catering service, room for private parties. New extended hours, Sunday to Thursday, 11 to 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday, 11 to 11. Delivery every day during store hours. If you're really hungry, you got to try Calzone. They're huge and oh so good. Plus, you pick the filling, and each one is made to order, just like their pizzas. Hey, they got ESPN on several big screen TVs. While you eat, it doesn't get any better than Godfather's Pizza in Kearney. Check them out today. They're in the Archway Plaza just north of Sunmart, right here in Kearney. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, 12 teams in 12 days. Day 12 is here. Nebraska Cornhusker Roundtable after this.
When you save 10% on the stuff that you bought, that's at Builders.
Hi, this is Scott from Builders, here to announce our all-new Senior Citizens Day every Tuesday at Builders in Kearney. If you're 65 or over, you qualify for a 10% discount on any in-stock items at Builders. That's every Tuesday, where seniors save 10% at Builders in Kearney. See store for details.
Builders does it best.
Swimming around underwater, one thing fish find irresistible is live bait. Problem is, their appetite gets them into trouble. On the other hand, fishermen have no trouble buying any kind of bait at the boathouse, many of which aren't stocked by anyone else, including chicken parts and guts, shad, gizzards, crawdads, shrimp, leeches, minnows, and of course, worms. See the boathouse, a mile north of Grand Island on 281, for repair and used boat sales, too. Log on to theboathousegi.com.
When I step onto your farm,
I am Dynacro.
I am dedicated to serving you.
I am Dynagrow.
I will offer only the best seed for your farm.
I am Dynagrow.
I represent a national brand that focuses its research on your success. I am Dynagrow. Call Dynagrow at 1-800-652-9298. Grow with the best.
The regular season begins to wind down.
The race for divisional titles and wild card berths heats up.
Is a ball game being played each day?
Listen for the game of the week every Sunday night on ESPN Radio 1460 and 1550 AM.
Swing and a drive deep to right field. This one is gone, a home run.
And we'll bring you playoff action as well.
Plus the World Series
on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
We sort of sent a message on that one.
1460 and 1550 AM.
Checking out our forecast around our Friday afternoon, calling for that partly to mostly cloudy sky to develop. Otherwise, anticipate hot and steamy conditions with our high near 92 degrees. For tonight, we'll have our low temperature near 70 degrees, currently 81.
When darkness turns to light, it ends tonight. It ends tonight. Just a little inside.
Back on the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Folks, glad to have you along with us today. Of course, if you missed any of the shows leading up to Big 12 Media Days, you can check them all on the webcast. Bill Haston from Oklahoma State, John Walters, Iowa State, Chuck Carlton, Texas A&M, John Morris, play-by-play voice of the Baylor Bears, Wyatt Thompson, play-by-play voice of the Kansas State Wildcats, Chris Level for Texas Tech, Gabe DeArmond, Power Mizzou, Chip Brown from Texas, Larry Zimmer, Colorado, Mike Jones, Fort Worth Star-Telegram from Oklahoma, and of course David Lawrence yesterday from Kansas to wrap up the 11th team. And right now we're setting everybody up for the roundtable. Mayor's getting everybody hooked up over there. So the media polls have been released. Nebraska, the favorite, the clear-cut favorite, to win the Big 12 North. They were 26 votes in, and 26 of them unanimously picked the Nebraska Cornhuskers. And we are joined right now on our Husker Roundtable with Sean Callahan of the Rivals Network, Steve Stipple from Lincoln Journal-Star, and Mitchell Sherman of the Omaha World-Herald. Gentlemen, thanks so much for the time today, and welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show again.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having us.
Hey, guys, Sip, I'm going to start with you on this question. Maybe the biggest concern last year that I saw was the team not being, the offensive line not being able to move people off the ball. How much of an improved offensive line will the Cornhuskers see this year?
Boy, that's a good question. I mean, there's a lot of optimism, among Nebraska fans. But there's some issues, and that's a big one. I mean, that quarterback thing on offense is a major issue. And right behind that, I'd say, is the offensive line. I think they'll be improved because of they like their depth better. You know, they have those freshmen coming in that they like. Now you're getting Yoshi Hardrick, who's potential starter at tackle. And you got some good returners. And the big thing is a lot of those returners should be healthier this season. So I think they'll be better up front. How much better remains to be seen.
Proceed about 1 mile.
When you talk about that left tackle position, you see Yoshi starting there, or is that Searle's position when they line it up against Western Kentucky?
Well, that'll be a decent battle, I suppose, in August. I would probably lean toward Hardrick right now. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know exactly what they're going to do in terms of left and right tackle. And maybe they got Marcel Jones kind of penciled in at right tackle, but he could play left too. So we'll see where that goes. But I think those are your top three tackles.
Fair enough. Mitch Sherman from the Omaha World Herald. Mitch, your thoughts on this offensive line as they head into fall camp?
I just want to know which one of those guys is driving around in their car with the GPS on, first of all. But anyway, maybe maybe that's not the right thing to ask. Sip, if that's you, can you turn it off, please? It's really distracting me.
I don't know what that is.
Okay.
It's me, guys. I'm sorry. I'm going somewhere. I don't know where it's at. And I got it on right now.
Sorry, Sean. Since it's Sean, that's okay. If it was Sip, I was going to be really upset. But, that's fine. Now, we can get back on task here. I think, Sip, and I think you talked a little bit about Searles, or you know, the question was asked. To me, a huge issue with the offensive line is the development of guys, a guy like Jeremiah Searles and a guy like Brent Qualley and a guy like Mike Caputo, who obviously is older than those two, but, you know, has not been put into the role that he's going to be asked to play this year. That's going to determine for me whether this line goes from, you know, middle of the road Big 12 group to near, you know, at or near, I don't know, at the top, but near the top. And, you know, I suppose you could put Hardrick in that group of guys who are going to have to perform too, because, you know, he's new to the program. And then, you know, the other big question for me is a guy like Hardrick and a guy like Ricky Henry, how they come off injuries from the spring.
And I'll ask this question to Sean. Sean, do you think Ricky Henry's matured and will stay away from some of the penalties that he endured in the past?
I think so. I mean, he just had a couple of mental error penalties, holding calls. But, you know, I think going into his career, everybody wanted to paint him as this Richie Incognito character of a crazy guy on and off the field. But Rick's a pretty well-mannered kid when you talk to him, and even Barney Cotton will tell you that. I mean, he's not like a Richie Incognito. I mean, in high school he might have had some blow-ups, but I think he's growing up quite a bit in the time he spent at the junior college in North Dakota and everything else. And, you know, when I look at the guard position, I mean, I think Henry and Keith Williams, those two guys are really fixtures, but I think Brent Qualley is somebody that's going to really be an up-and-comer this year that should contribute. I mean, I think when you look at this line, there's nine guys that are going to play or have a really good opportunity to play, three at tackle, and Hardrick and Searles, and then Marcell Jones, three at guard, Henry, you look at Qualley, and then Keith Williams and Caputo at center. Then there's two guys that have the versatility to move around quite a bit. Mike Smith obviously has been a starter at tackle. He's moving inside to guard and even center now. And then DJ Jones, he can play both guard and tackle. So I think with Smith and Jones, they give Nebraska quite a bit more depth, having starting experience, but also the ability now to rotate around and move to guard and tackle and even center in Smith's case.
Sean, in your mind, is this the most depth we've had at offensive line in a long, long time?
You know, in terms of capable bodies with experience, yes. I think you've got to go back quite a while to where Nebraska's had eight or nine quality bodies to play. I mean, Barney Cotton has come in and talked about how he's wanted to rotate when he, you know, and play eight guys. Well, he's only really been able to play five or six, and we saw how big of an effect that had last year when Nebraska really struggled on offense. That offensive line was a mash ward out there. I mean, those guys were banged up. Keith Williams played majority of the year hurt. Jacob Hickman was hurt for most of the season. You know, you can go down the list, and I think this year, if they have a quality eight, maybe nine guys, they shouldn't have that problem because they're starting experience everywhere on this line for the most part, other than Caputo. But I think the fact that he's been a backup to Hickman and has seen some quality game reps makes him more ready than your typical rookie starting center.
Sean, this question comes from Tom in Hastings. Says, how are we doing in recruiting as far as getting a good wide receiver, as it seems we're loaded on the offensive line?
Well, that still is the mystery, and Sip and I talk about this quite a bit, how Nebraska, just for whatever reason, always has trouble landing you know, the quality wide receivers. And I'll take this from Sip. He said Jay Norvell told him this, that, you know, landing a good wide receiver at Nebraska is probably the hardest thing to do in recruiting, and that's why getting Maurice Purify back when they got him was huge. And you saw kind of a difference just having that one guy makes. Niles Paul has kind of evolved into that role, but, you know, Maurice Purify, you know, he had the ability to catch a ball, you know, that play against Texas in the first quarter and break two tackles and go 65 yards. And I just don't know, other than Niles Paul, if they have that type of guy on the roster. And in recruiting, it's just not very easy. I think they're bringing in a couple of good guys this year. Quincy Anunua played for Rancho you know, Verde High School in California, top five national powerhouse program. And then I think Tyler Evans brings some good potential, as does Kenny Bell. So I think they're bringing in some good ones. As for this year, it kind of really remains to be seen who they're going to bring in for those 2 to 3 wide receiver slash tight end spots.
We roll on with the Husker Roundtable. Mitch Sherman from the Omaha World Herald, Steve Sybil from Lincoln Journal Star, and Sean Callahan from the Rivals Network, all joining us right now on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mitch, if you go back to that bowl game in Nebraska using that Wildcat formation, you know, Halu's on a lot of people's watch list. I mean, Mel Kiper's top five running backs, et cetera. How much do you think they'll implement the Wildcat as you see the season getting started?
I think you'll see it. I don't think you'll see it too much against Western Kentucky or South Dakota State, maybe not even Idaho. You know, it may come out as a something to test here or there. I don't think Nebraska wants to go to Washington having not run any Wildcat. But a couple things there. First of all, I think Burkhead is clearly the guy who's more adept in that formation than Halu. And that's not anything against Halu. Burkhead is natural as you get as a running back, taking those direct snaps. You know, he played quarterback some in high school, and he just has such a natural feel for the game. To be able to do what he did as a true freshman and mesh into that offense, and then to come back and make that seamless return after an injury that I think for a lot of older guys, you know, younger guys and even older guys, that would have really just completely destroyed their rhythm for the entire year. You would have never seen many players come back and respond to that kind of an injury, a lower body injury where you're not able to run for a number of weeks, come back and have the impact that he did in the last 2 or 3 games. To me, that makes Burkhead clearly the guy who is going to be out there when they're doing the majority in the Wildcat. But having said that, it's not going to be, you know, the staple of the offense. You're not going to see this thing, you know, times a game. I think Nebraska will mix it in as a nice facet, and that's what it will remain, and I think that's how it's most effective in this offense. Just to touch on one little thing too, also on that wide receiver question, you know, we often talk about recruits and who's the next guy and who's going to be the guy that fills this huge role at receiver, and I think Sean, you know, made a great point about how difficult it is to recruit receivers to Nebraska, but they've got one that they recruited last year who I expect to make a huge jump, and I think you saw flashes in the Big 12 championship game and other times last year, and that's Brandon Kinney. I think he's potentially a difference maker, maybe not a guy who's going to go 60, 70 yards, but just a very, very good, can be a very, very good receiver in the Big 12.
Fair enough. Steve, your thoughts overall on them? Maybe just take a whatever skill position you want to take, just your thoughts on them.
Well, I agree with Mitch about Burkhead and the Wildcat, but I would like to see Halu in that position too. I mean, in a kind of a strange way, I think his rugby background might lend itself to playing that position pretty well. I'd like to see Roy in that a little bit more often. I mean, you can't forget about Halu. I mean, this is a guy that's ran for over 1,000 yards. Everybody wants to put a crown on Burkhead. I think Roy, if he can prove that he can play through injury, might be the better running back right now. So I'd like to see a little bit more of him. And I agree with Mitch on Brandon Kinney. But that receiver thing is interesting in terms of recruiting. And what Jay has said is that it's just Nebraska still has that reputation as a run school. I mean, you just don't shake reputations overnight. And then the other thing is so many of those receivers want to go to warm weather. You know, they want to go down to Florida and Texas and the southern schools. Those guys, I don't know, a lot of receivers are just cut out that way personality-wise.
Sip, I'll stay with you as we switch sides of the ball to the defense a little bit. You look at the strength of Nebraska last year, and there's several strengths, but the big one was the man up front in Mr. Sue and wreaking all the havoc that he was able to do up there. Is Jared Crick automatically going to take over and be able to do a third of what Sue did?
A third? I would hope he could do a third of what Sue did. I think that Crick can put up numbers similar to what he did last year and perhaps exceed him. I mean, he had 9.5 sacks. That's a lot. That's a lot of sacks. He might be able to go to double figures there, though. And 73 tackles. You know, you might see him go above that. He'll get more attention. But the one thing that, Pelini jumped me on one day is that it was suggested that the Crick benefited a lot from Sue getting doubled and tripled, et cetera. And Bo said, watch the tape. That wasn't the case. That Crick did most of his damage, you know, in conventional blocking situations where it wasn't like he was singled or nobody was on him. I mean, he did the work on his own, most of it. So I'd expect that to be the case again. And, a lot will be dependent on how the guy next to him does. And I think we're looking at Baker Steinkruer stepping into a starting role with Terrence Moore right behind him. So that position's critical.
Sean, your overall thoughts on the defensive line as they head to fall camp?
Well, I think you got to look at this way. I think Pierre Allen is poised to contend for all Big 12 honors. Obviously, Jared Crick was named the preseason co-defensive player of the year with Von Miller from Texas A&M. Then, you know, look at Baker Steinkruer and compare to where he is right now to, say, Jared Crick in his sophomore year. And I think you could say that Baker is probably a little bit ahead. In fact, I think the coaching staff would tell you right now at this stage as a sophomore, Baker is ahead of, say, where Jared Crick was as a sophomore. And I expect Baker to really emerge this year and be a quality pass rusher and a guy up the middle there now that he's in his third season. And then you look at the other defensive end spot, Cameron Meredith and Jason Ankra will kind of be the two guys there. And I think those two guys, potential-wise, because of the injuries Barry Turner went through, I think those two guys have the ability to produce more than what Barry Turner did. And, Barry Turner kind of slowly progressed throughout his career. He's almost better in his earlier years when he was quicker and faster. Then he kind of came on at the end of his senior year. But I think those two young guys have the potential and the ability to put up a lot of numbers at defensive end this fall.
Mitchell, when you look at this deal and you throw the linebackers in there too, how many linebackers will Nebraska use the majority of the time?
Well, if you count Eric Haig as a linebacker, which, you know, it's just all terminology and how you interpret things. I mean,
right.
He's kind of the wild card in that mix. And, you know, they would use anywhere from two. I suppose there's situations where there would be three out there on the field. There are going to be times where Nebraska is just going to have that one guy out there. It's, you know, the majority of the time, I guess that depends on the opponent, but it's not going to be a whole lot different than what you saw last year when really it was five defensive backs. They played a ton of nickel, some dime with more defensive backs out there. So, of course, it all depends, too, on the development of some of these linebackers. I think Sean Fisher has a real high ceiling if they can pinpoint him to play a certain position. You know, he's so versatile as a defender that you're tempted to just try him seemingly everywhere on the field. I mean, the guy could be a defensive end if you bulked him up. He could be a middle linebacker. He could be an outside linebacker. He could play safety if you put the right kind of size on him. So you pick a spot, you plug him into it, you work him for, you know, an extended period of time over, you know, at that position, and I think he can be a somewhat dominant player in Nebraska's defense, if not this year, then in the future, and I think he can take strides towards this year. That's one guy. Will Compton, well, he doesn't have the kind of versatility that Fisher does. He's right there with the experience, and, I think he can be a solid player in Nebraska's defensive system when he learns or continues to learn more about what he's doing. Other guys, Eric Martin has a long way to go as far as learning the defense. You know, we'll see when fall camp starts what he's picked up over the summer. I would hope that he's been in the film room a lot, watching schemes, learning concepts. It's more about concepts in this defense. The coaches will tell you all the time, and that's something that Eric Martin needs to understand before he can get out there on the field and play a lot. And Levante David, a junior college player coming in. These are all players that can fit into Nebraska's defensive linebacker this year. So depending on how they develop and, how effective Eric Haig is in that peso spot, that's going to determine whether Nebraska has a lot of times where there's two linebackers on the field, one linebacker on the field, three linebackers on the field. We'll see as the season progresses.
We got a question from Doug for Steve Sipple. Steve, do we have any backup cornerbacks? Sounds like everybody moved to safety. So my question is, if Prince or Alfonso get hurt, does the defense automatically go to the goal line package?
I don't know. That's a decent question. They're not loaded with depth at corner. They do have a lot of guys that can play it. I mean, Eric Haig couldn't play it. Jean Gomes obviously could play it. You know, I think you're looking at Anthony Blue. Off the top of my head, I think that would be the guy. And, of course, Anthony West has moved to safety, but I mean, I'm sure that he could go back to corner in a heartbeat. So it's not like we're not in code red. It's not that type of situation in terms of cornerback depth. But, you know, that is one area where there's not teaming with extra guys.
Sean, your thoughts on that same question?
Well, I think another guy you got to throw in there might be Andrew Green. You know, I think he's a young player that they're really excited about, and he missed the spring with a knee injury or some sort of injury, and I think he's somebody that could factor in. There's a couple of walk-ons that they're high on, but they're probably more special teams type guys. Drawing a blank on the names, but a couple of the walk-on guys there. I think are guys that could see some reps. But, yeah, like Sip said, after Dennard and Prince, you know, you got to get that nickel spot and that dime spot figured out. And, obviously, Eric Haig moves into the nickel. And, you know, the interesting thing will be, and Marvin Sanders talked about this in the spring, when Nebraska goes to dime, they might take Dejon Gomes from that safety spot, put him back at that dime corner, and then sub in a Ricky Tenars or an Austin Cassidy or somebody, Anthony West, to put back in that safety spot, because Dejon Gomes and Eric Haig were just such good lockdown guys in the nickel and dime corner roles that he goes, why change things up? You know, we had so much success doing that a year ago. Those two guys more than likely can just probably move back into those roles when we're in those packages.
Maybe a Lance Thorell, guys. We're talking to Central Nebraska here.
Sure. Hey. There's no question. I mean, Lance has got experience. Sean was talking about, I think, maybe Justin Blatchford or Jace Bean. They're guys, I don't know exactly. I mean, but, yeah, definitely Thorell. They have so many guys in that back seven that you forget about them. At linebacker, we forget that Matt Holt started a little bit. Matthew May was a guy that was about ready to start. Maybe did start a little bit as a linebacker. They have that back seven. There's a lot of talent, so much so that you forget some guys that are pretty good.
Mitch, this question comes from you, and you know I've avoided the quarterback question until now. It sounds like Zach Lee's arm is not healing the way it's supposed to. Will he be ready when fall camp starts to be a starter?
Well, let's see on August 7th how he throws. I mean, it's all. You know, until somebody tells me, definitively otherwise, you know, I'm going to go under the assumption that, you know, there's a chance Zach can be there to compete. You know, I think people who are close to him say that he is doing well, that his spirits are high, that he's excited about the season, that he's ready to compete. I think there are always going to be questions when you're coming off of an injury like that. That's not an easy one to come back from. I think after the Holiday Bowl, when he disclosed that he was hurt, that he was having surgery, a lot of people thought, okay, this is going to be a deal where by May or June, he's fine. He's back out there throwing 100%. And I don't know that was ever the case, that was ever thought by the Lee family, by his doctors, even by some of the Nebraska coaches. They always knew this thing was going to be kind of touch and go. This could be a 6 to 8 month recovery. So, you know, it's getting late now, but we're still in July, and there's not a game till September. Sure, he's got to be going. He's got to be ready to be able to throw in fall camp. He can't just be ready on September, you know, the first week of September and say, okay, now I'm the starting quarterback. But I think he's going to try to compete. I think he's going to be able to do it. And I think some of the things that you maybe hear this summer are a little bit exaggerated as far as how he's doing, because you remember he's in a recovery process. So to me, it's a 3-man race. I'm not in any way, shape, or form willing to say this is a 2-man race between Cody Green and Taylor Martinez. I think those guys got a leg up in the competition, not a leg up on Zach, but a leg up on their readiness for the 2010 season because they went through spring ball. But neither one of those guys showed me that, you know, they're going to step in and seamlessly be the new quarterback at Nebraska. So, you know, until Zach loses that job because somebody beats him out or he's not ready to go, you know, he's the guy in my mind that should be out there at the start of the season. And like I said, until I see otherwise, I'm going to, on the practice field or hear otherwise from a coach who sees it on the practice field, I'm going to, you know, assume that it's his job to lose.
Sean, your overall thoughts on the quarterback position and what you've been hearing from your people this summer?
Well, you know, I wrote this week. The thing I'm going to be most interested in is when they start practice and they go into their, you know, team situations, who will be the quarterback on day one of camp that goes with the number one offense? I mean, I'm not saying that guy's going to be the starter, but that will tell you a lot about the summer. And, you know, I've heard a lot that Taylor Martinez has been running the ones this summer. But as Mitch said, you know, you don't really want to believe things till you see it with your own eyes and hear it from the coaches yourself. And that Zach Lee, you know, has obviously been held back and doesn't have quite the arm strength that he once had. And the arm strength was always Zach's forte. You know, Sean Watson said this last summer that Zach Lee had the best arm talent of any quarterback he'd ever coached. And if his arm is not up to par, you know, that's when this offense struggled last year. You clearly saw by the middle of the season when Zach had the injury that his balls just did not have the same velocity on them that he had maybe, you know, in weeks one and two when that ball just effortlessly flew off his arm, say, in that Louisiana Lafayette game and some of those early games. So that's what I'm going to be interested to see is how Zach recovers and, you know, who's the first quarterback out, who's the guy that they put out there with that one offense, you know, on day one or two of camp.
Sip, your thoughts.
Oh, I'm just going into it with an open mind. I think the competition's wide open. And I mean, that's not just me saying that. I mean, you just go back to spring and listen to what Bo Pelini said at the end of spring ball. That thing may not be decided in September. I mean, it may take a few games before they settle on somebody. And maybe they won't even settle on anybody. You know, that competition could stay open indefinitely. So I think we all got to keep an open mind. It's a very interesting situation. Oftentimes you see two guys battle, and seldom do you see three guys who are legitimate contenders, and there's three there. I mean, there's no question. And the thing I've been amazed at is the people that I read and hear say that Zach is the guy. I don't know where that comes from. It doesn't come from any of the coaches. There's just some kind of assumption that he is the quarterback. Let me tell you, it's wide open. And we'll see how it shakes out.
Guys, real quickly here, is there one or two newcomers you see playing a huge role for this Nebraska team this year? Maybe coming from off the radar, or is it somebody as simple as Yoshi stepping up? Your thoughts, Sean?
Well, I think you got to start with the JUCO guys, Hardrick and Levante David. But, you know, a wide receiver I want to watch is Quincy Inunua. I think he played big-time high school football, and he has the ability to step in. Braylon Hurd at one time was a guy thought that could contribute, but it doesn't look like he may even qualify now as that thing's kind of going down to the wire here with him, and all reports we've heard at Rivals aren't good right now in terms of Hurd academically qualifying. We can't get anybody to pick up the phone on that subject right now over in Ohio. But the two JUCO guys, I think one of the wide receivers in the Nunwa has a chance on defense. I just don't think there's any really key needs where any of those freshmen on the defensive line or even in the secondary are going to get much of an opportunity. And, you know, you can really say the same on offense other than maybe at that wide receiver position and then at left tackle with Hardrick.
Mitch?
Yeah, defensively, I'd be really surprised. It's going to take a bunch of injuries there are very good players like Corey Cooper. I think Donovan Vessel, somebody who was under the radar in recruiting. You know, guys like Jay Guy and Chase Rome were in the spring, but, you know, they're not going to be ready to crack that defensive line rotation, I wouldn't think. But defensively, it's just going to be very hard for somebody to get out of a redshirt year. Offensively, I would say Kenny Bell because of how athletic he is. And then, you know, Hurd, if he's able to qualify and you know, maybe surprise some of us. But Kenny Bell's a guy who I think can do. He did so much in high school. Was such a great athlete. I would like to watch him in camp and see what kind of progress he makes right off the bat. You know, always one or two of these guys stick out right away, and they're ready. But more of that readiness this year. They're the guys who could be ready because of their athleticism is on defense. But with Nebraska's depth, I just don't see anybody cracking that rotation right now as we sit here in July.
Sip.
Well, my phone was kind of blanking out, so I couldn't hear what those guys were saying. The only two I expect is David and Hardrick. I mean, I just don't.
Okay.
I don't think there's a need. I don't think there's a big need anywhere else, and they're pretty veteran. I think David will be hard pressed to work his way in there. He might. I've heard he's had a good summer, but there's a lot to learn at that position. So I'd say Hardrick's a pretty safe bet, and we'll see about Levante David.
Guys, before we let you get out of here, we've been asking everybody covering all these teams who you expect to play in that Big 12 title game. Start with you, Sip.
Oh, it's not rocket science. I mean, I think Nebraska's clearly everybody in the world knows that Nebraska's clearly the team in the North. And in the South, it's a two-team race. And I'll say, I guess I'd lean toward Oklahoma. I think they're a little, if nothing else, they got the experience at quarterback. But they, I think they're just a little bit across the board better than Texas. Although Texas, I think, is maybe a little better than people think. I'm surprised to see them low in the top 10 in a couple of polls. I think they're better than that. But I'd probably give Oklahoma the edge.
Mitch?
You threw me for a loop there, Sip. I thought you were going to say Colorado and Baylor. But, I hope it's Nebraska-Oklahoma. I want Nebraska's last game in the Big 12 Conference, the Big 8, Big 12 era, to be Nebraska-Oklahoma. I mean, we root for the best story as writers, and that would definitely be the best story. Sure, there would be some intrigue in Nebraska and Texas because of recent history, but they're going to play on October 16th in Lincoln, and I think it would be fitting if that closed the book on Nebraska-Texas, and then Nebraska and Oklahoma could lock horns one more time as conference foes in that Big 12 championship game. That's what I think will happen, and that's really what I hope will happen.
Sean, your thoughts?
Yeah, the schedule is just too favorable in the North Division for Nebraska not to win. I mean, with Missouri, Kansas, Colorado, all in Lincoln, Iowa State on the road, and then Kansas State on the road. I mean, they should go 5-0 in the North games. I think winning in College Station will be a challenge than the Texas game. But when you look at the South, I like Oklahoma mainly because of the experience at quarterback, running back. Their offensive line still has some questions that need to be answered. They showed that last year as well. But they've got the best receiver in the league in Ryan Broyles. Defensively, I think their front seven is really strong. Their secondary has some holes that need to be filled still. But there's talent on that team. And I just see Oklahoma winning, especially with Texas breaking in more or less a new quarterback, kind of trying some new things on offense. There's going to be some early growing pains, I think, for Mack Brown and the Longhorns, where they're going to probably lose that Red River shootout game to OU this year.
Hey, guys, I want to thank you, each and every one of you, for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show today. I really appreciate it. I look forward to seeing all three of you in the workout room on Sunday night when we get to Dallas.
Okay, Daddy.
You might see this in person. Let's do this in one place next year.
Okay, buddy.
There's a workout room at Papa Doe's.
There you go. We may all be in the workout room at Papa Doe's. Thanks, guys. We'll see you Monday in Dallas. Thanks so much for the time today.
All right, guys.
Oh, boy. That's Husker Roundtable. Sean Callahan, Rivals Network. Steve Sipple from Lincoln Journal Star. And Mitch Sherman from the Omaha World Herald. Folks, it doesn't get any better than that. It's just like going to Complete Nutrition, where it's swimsuit season. You know that. Perfect time for Complete Nutrition, 30% off Reveal Extreme sale. Summer's here, and whether you're going to the lake, taking a vacation by the beach, or just hanging by the pool, Complete Nutrition wants to remind you there's still time to lose fast weight for the swimsuit season. Go to Complete Nutrition, talk to Jeff and the gang, ask for Reveal Extreme, the strongest fat burner to hit the market since Ephedrine. The makers of Reveal, they're so confident in their product, they're offering a 30% off Reveal Extreme just to get you to try it until the end of July. Please, hey, Go to Complete Nutrition, located north of Sunmart on 2nd Avenue. For more information, call 338-1FIT or check them out on the web at CompleteNutrition.com. Look, feel, perform better. Complete Nutrition. Back after this. Wrap things up.
Now's the time to start training for this year's Nebraska Senior Games. Seniors ages 50 and up will have the chance to test their skills in a variety of different sports and activities, including track and field, cycling, golf, bowling, basketball, swimming, tennis, and many more. This year's games will be held August 12th through the 15th in Kearney. Don't wait to sign up. Go to NebraskaSeniorGames.com for registration forms. The 2010 Nebraska Senior Games, where competition never gets old. Get in the game at NebraskaSeniorGames.com.
The courtyard at Cunningham's is now open, and there's a lot of reasons to come out, like enjoying great food off the grill. Their bacon-wrapped shrimp, amazing. Or how about their outstanding prime rib? Also in the courtyard, there's live music Tuesday through Saturday with local and regional acts. Happy hour from 3 to 6, and don't forget Cunningham's also has the coldest beer in town. The courtyard, the perfect place to get away from it all. It's like being on vacation at a place you love to go time and time again. The courtyard at Cunningham's Journal, downtown Carmel.
Quiznos 5-4-3 lunch menu song. 5-4-3, 5-4-3. Get a $5 large sub, woohoo, or two items from the choose to menu. Over a foot of flavor with a toasty torpedo for just $4. Or a toasty bullet for $3 with 5-4-3. Every day at Quiznos. Toasty. At participating Quiznos for a limited time.
Sir?
Yeah?
Your bleacher seats aren't available today.
Oh, here we go.
Mind if we move you to the track owner's skybox?
I can make that work.
There's nothing like an upgrade at the track or behind the wheel. So upgrade to Castrol Edge Advanced Synthetic Motor Oil with 8 times better wear protection than Mobil 1 5W30 for superior performance.
Want to take your car on the track after the race?
Yeah, no, I'm good with that.
Live for performance? Upgrade to Castrol Edge. It's more than just oil. It's liquid engineering. Results based on sequence spray wear test.
That's the sound of power. The power to get things done. We're Gronies Outdoor Power Center, your partner in power. If you need it, Gronies Outdoor Power Center sells it and fixes it. From chainsaws, lawnmowers, weed trimmers, to snow blowers and plows, and hot pressure washers. We can give you the power to do it right. We service what we sell, and what they sell too. 3551 North Highway 281. Call 308-384-5168. Gronies Outdoor Power Center, your partner in power.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, our approach to insurance is simple. One policy for your home, cars, motorcycle, all your toys. One premium for simplified bill paying. One deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence. All handled by your local Farm Bureau agents, Matt Myers and Rich Peters. See how simple insurance can be. Call Matt Myers and Rich Peters in Kearney today at 234-4922. That's 234-4922. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Checking out our forecast around our Friday afternoon, calling for that partly to mostly cloudy sky to develop. Otherwise, anticipate hot and steamy conditions with our high near 92 degrees. For tonight, we'll have our low temperature near 70 degrees, currently 81.
Well, back. Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Taking you up to the lunch hour, the Chicken Coop, Kearney and or Grand Island. Perfect opportunity. Check out their lunch specials. Check out their drink specials. All the sports. You can catch them all at the Chicken Coop, Kearney and Grand Island, both conveniently located downtown in Kearney and in Grand Island. Chicken Coop has 15 high-definition TVs await you. Not a bad seat in the house. Kearney or Grand Island's Chicken Coop. Plus, check out the menu. it's got to line up second to no one. Whether you want a chicken tender hoagie, whether you're looking for ribs, whether you're looking for pizza, whether you're looking for a burger, they've got it all. The Chicken Coop, Kearney, and Grand Island. Maybe you're thinking about getting a little get-together for your anniversary, maybe a birthday, family reunions, meetings of any kind. The Chicken Coop. Call them today, Kearney and Grand Island. Great opportunity. Check out lunch at the Chicken Coop today. We head to the Dent Popper inbox. Ken chimes in and says, I watched part of the Royals game last night, and once again, Billy the Tortoise Butler gets thrown out home plate by a mile. On another subject, my pals at Notre Dame tell me Nebraska's having a very good football recruiting year. Give them hell, Bo. Thanks, Irish Ken. Appreciate that. Tom in Hastings fires in and said, make sure, Daddy, you hit some Sonny Bryan's for some good barbecue. I'm going to take this email with me. I may look up Sonny Bryan's in the Dallas area. You know what? We got to give away some Cox Classic tickets. We promised that at the start of the show. We're going to do that right after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Complete Nutrition is extending the 30% off Reveal Extreme sale. Summer's here, and whether you're hitting the beach, lake, or pool, Complete Nutrition wants to remind you there's still time to lose weight for this summer. Reveal Extreme is the strongest fat burner to hit the market since ephedrine. And the makers of Reveal are so confident in this product, they're extending their offer of 30% off Reveal Extreme for the entire month of July. There's still time to lose weight fast for swimsuit season. And with 30% off through the month of July, now's the perfect time to get to Complete Nutrition and pick up Reveal Extreme today. Please note, if you lose more than 10 pounds in 10 days, discontinue use.
For a limited time, receive a free bottle of water pills with purchase of Reveal only at Complete Nutrition in Kearney on 2nd Avenue north of Sun Mart.
Look, feel, perform better. Complete Nutrition.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. You've heard me talking about GoToMyPC, the easiest, most intuitive remote access product available. If you have a Mac, you haven't been able to try GoToMyPC until now. GoToMyPC is now available for Mac users. It lets you remotely access your computer from any other computer. GoToMyPC for Mac was built for Mac users from the ground up. Now you can access your Mac from any other Mac or PC. All you do is go to mypc.com and your desktop instantly appears. With GoToMyPC brought to you by Citrix, you can retrieve a file on your Office PC from your Mac at home. Use any Mac application from a PC. I want you to go to MyPC free today. An exclusive 45-day free trial just for my listeners. Only available if you use the promo code Colin. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the Try It Free button. Remember, use the promo code Colin. Use the promo code Colin.
It might have started as a little pebble hitting the windshield, and then you see it. A crack spreading right across your vision line. Well, B&B Glass Incorporated will fill your crack.
Wouldn't that be in poor taste?
You got a busted window? B&B will replace it. A chip? B&B will repair it. But that's not all. With B&B's Anytime Emergency Glass Service, anytime circumstances present you with a pain in the glass, call B&B Glass for tint, replacement, or repair.
B&B Glass, located at 922 Central in Kearney.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Fredericks and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Hi, wrapping up things on the Doug and Daddy Show on a Friday, taking you to the weekend. The weekend means grilling, whether you're camping, whether you're golfing, whether you're fishing. It's a great time to stop by Troutman's. It's BLT season, hickory smoked bacon. hey, folks, doesn't get any better. Take it from me. I bought my bacon at Troutman's a couple years ago. I don't buy bacon anywhere else. It's just different. Trust me. Go in there and try it. Try the baked beans. You won't buy a can of baked beans ever again. Troutman's quality meats is where it's at. Doesn't matter if you're talking their bacon. Doesn't matter if you're talking their ground beef. It's just different. Try it. If you've never been there before, try it. Take my word for it. Grill a Troutman's burger, then grill somebody else's burger. It's different. You can taste the difference. Troutman's quality beef. It's all certified Angus beef. Hey, it's aged a minimum of 30 days for peak flavor and tenderness. They've got it all for you. Plus, they've got the Green Mountain Grill. Talk to Kerry about it. He's got one himself. He knows how to operate. He can tell you what pellets to put in it. You can mix your pellets if you want. He's got all that as well. At Troutman's Quality Meats, they've got all the beer, all the wines. Wine's arriving daily for your enjoyment. Check them out. Troutman's Quality Meats. But, hey, you're getting some fresh tomatoes out of the garden. They don't go anywhere better than with Troutman's bacon. I'm telling you, folks, try it today. Derek, I called you Derek. Oh. You know, Derek's been gone for a while now. Merritt, we got through a day. I'm sorry, my head's so frazzled because the last hour we were jam-packed.
We had a good show.
And we did draw somebody out for some Cox Classic tickets.
Yeah, Lonnie and Minden can expect a call from me. We'll get him hooked up with some tickets, and he can enjoy the Cox Classic next weekend with you guys.
A little clubhouse. Yeah, we're going to be down there. When we get back from Big 12 Media Days on Wednesday night, we're going to set up our equipment in Omaha on the 19th hole at the Cox Classic on Thursday and on Friday. So, hey, we look forward to having you join us on Monday. 2-hour extended Doug and Daddy show live from the Westin Airport Hotel in Dallas. Big 12 Media Days roll on. Nebraska taking Niles Paul, taking Prince Amakamura, and Pierre Allen. All three of those studs going with Coach Bo Pelini. They are on day one along with Art Briles and the Baylor Bears, Paul Rhodes and the Iowa State Cyclones, and Mike Sherman and the Texas A&M Aggies. Gerard Johnson, Von Miller, both up. My offensive and defensive preseason players of the year. Hopefully get a chance to speak with both of those guys on Monday's Doug and Daddy Show. I want to thank Mitch Sherman from the Omaha World Herald, Steve Sybil from Lincoln Journal Star, Sean Callahan from the Rivals Network, and Terry Wallace, track announcer at Oaklawn Park this weekend at Horseman's Park. We'll see you Monday, live from Dallas, Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.